11 minutes before 8 a.m., you're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Thursday, October 31st, 2013. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. The former maintenance director of the Petersburg School District appeared in a Juneau courtroom yesterday after being charged with distribution and possession of child pornography. 45-year-old Ty Leif Peterson had worked for the school district since 2002 and resigned from his job Tuesday. He was arrested in Juneau on his way to Seattle, according to the FBI. Peterson faces federal charges of distribution of child pornography, receipt of child pornography, and possession of pornography involving a child under 12 years of age. The FBI and local law enforcement searched Petersburg's school buildings and the school computer network Saturday morning. Petersburg's school superintendent says the district cooperated fully and there's no evidence any local children were involved. A preliminary hearing is scheduled for November 18th. The blasting along Sawmill Creek Road this fall has been blamed for a series of water main ruptures in Sitka, along with many smaller inconveniences to motorists, tourists, hikers, and bikers headed out to the far end of the community's road system. The state-funded project has been 5 years in the making, and many Sitkins, at least in one coffee shop patronized by KCAW's Rich McClear, have forgotten how it came to be such an earth-shaking effort. As McClear discovered, Sitka is getting exactly the road project it asked for.
Many coffee drinkers were ISIP, our former pulp mill workers. They drove that road to work for years, and the road seemed okay. Bonnie Richards worked at the mill for more than two decades and asked,
"So why are they widening the road so much now that there's not much industry out that way?"
I went to City Hall, where the engineering department referred me to the State Department of Transportation. I called Al Clow, Southeast Regional Director for the Alaska DOT.
"We, being the Department of Transportation, are building the project that the city and borough of Sitka requested us to build."
In fact, this project was on the city's legislative wish list.
"They wanted a reconstructed highway with widened shoulders and separated pedestrian access. You probably remember the old road basically had no shoulders on it. The new section has two 11-foot driving lanes, a 4-foot paved shoulder on either side of that, and then on the water side it has an 8-foot sidewalk. If you look at the topography along there, of course, it's quite steep in most places. And if you're going in there and going to be widening out the roadway to allow for better pedestrian bicycle access and such, you really have two choices. Either you put fill in the inlet there in Silver Bay, or else you make a cut into the hillside."
And, according to Clow, putting fill into Silver Bay would have required a complicated permitting process. So the Department of Transportation chose to blast into the mountains, and that's expensive. Some of the money for the project came from federal appropriations. State Senator Bert Stedman got the rest of it in 2008 by rolling it into a general obligation bond proposal that the public voted on. Sitka got $10.8 million from that bond issue. About $2.5 million of that was for the sidewalk and bike path. Aside from a wider road, shoulders, and a bike path, Klaus says there'll be another plus for motorists.
"Those new rock cuts, which I'm sure you've seen, have been laid back quite nicely and dealt with some of the unstable areas right out there by the mill site where there's that one rock slide that comes down. That's being mitigated somewhat."
And this, Klaus says, will be a big benefit as Sawmill Creek Industrial Park draws more businesses and employees. Even some of my fellow coffee drinkers remember the time a rock slide closed the road just after a shift change at the mill. It cut the mill off from Sitka for a better part of a day. Clow thanks Sitkins for their patience and said,
"It's going to be a heck of a nice improvement that'll be there for generations to come."
Al Clow, Southeast Alaska Regional Director for the State Department of Transportation. Blasting on the road is now finished, and construction will pause for the winter on November 15th, according to Clow. The whole project should be complete by July 15th, 2014. In Sitka, I'm Rich McClear.
Can Southeast Alaska's timber industry survive while only logging second-growth forests? An Oregon research group says it can, and it could happen sooner than many expect. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
An organization called the Geos Institute just released a study based on new Forest Service information. It takes a look at acreage regrowing after earlier logging. The study concludes the Tongass National Forest has enough second growth stands, also called young growth, to provide a steady supply of marketable timber. Dominic Della Sala is president and chief scientist for Geos. The Ashland, Oregon-based group advocates protecting older forests to reduce climate change.
The faster we could get the Forest Service to move out of old-growth logging, the better it will be, because the Tongass is such a global resource, and that would help with subsistence values and fisheries and the tourism that takes place on the Tongass.
The study was researched by Corvallis, Oregon-based Mader Limited. It says trees can be harvested at the age of 55. Forest Service policy considers trees ready to log at 90. Della Sala says that change, plus a few others, means the Tongass could switch to cutting second-growth trees within 5 years.
That could be harvested over the next 6 decades, at which time forests that were already harvested that are younger would be available 6 decades out into the future. So you can kind of continue this cycle of renewing the forest and going back into the second growth and harvesting it again and never have to touch another stick of old growth.
We've been harvesting second growth trees for about the last 4 or 5 years.
Rick Harris is executive vice president of the Sea Alaska Regional Native Corporation, headquartered in Juneau. Its timber subsidiary is one of its largest businesses, and it's been cutting and selling 50 to 75-year-old trees.
We've been able to get those trees into a market, and the market took them on an experimental basis, but in subsequent years, they've actually been asking for it.
Sea Alaska's logs are sold in the round to mills in Asia. Most Forest Service sales require milling before export. Harris says the study's information is useful, but the Geos Institute underestimates the difficulty of making the change.
They make a simple statement that, all we have to do is change a few rules about when second growth can be harvested. Unfortunately, that rule is a federal statute. And our experience with getting federal statutes changed is that it's very difficult. This is something that it can't be done by the administration or by the Forest Service. It actually requires congressional approval.
Sea Alaska has been trying for years to get Congress to change land selection rules so it can boost its timber base. Despite increased support, it's unlikely that legislation will go anywhere this year. Forest Service officials say they haven't fully reviewed the Geos Institute report, but the Tongass is already transitioning from old to second-growth logging. Officials have said it will take 10 to 15 years, maybe longer, before enough younger trees are of marketable size. This is Ed Schoenfeld, reporting from Juneau.
U.S. Forest Service officials say the public use cabin system on the Tongass National Forest is not sustainable. Forest managers are devising a plan to identify underused and run-down cabins and look at gearing funding toward more popular sites. The Forest Service, in a release, says another goal is sustaining more cabins through volunteer efforts. Forest officials say rising costs and declining funding have led to a $600,000 shortfall in the cabin program's budget. The Forest Service says its most popular cabins are often booked over 100 nights a year. But of the 152 cabins it manages, 31, generally more remote cabins, had fewer than 10 nights of use. The Forest Service says declining funding has limited its ability to keep pace with deferred maintenance, meaning less used cabins have been allowed to deteriorate. A jury trial that was scheduled to start next week for a man accused of killing his girlfriend at a Yakutat lodge over 17 years ago has been postponed again. Matt Miller has more on the story from Juneau.
Juneau Superior Court Judge Luis Menendez scheduled a 3-week trial to start in March of 2014 after considering an expedited request from public defender Eric Hedlund to continue or postpone next week's proceedings. Robert Dean Kowalski is accused of murder in the death of Sandra Perry at the Glacier Bear Lodge in 1996. Hedlund, who unsuccessfully moved to dismiss the indictment against Kowalski, indicated in court on Monday that he may have to reconsider his trial strategy.
I think the court's order denying the motion to dismiss indictment, not just on its face, but on the breadth, what I would interpret as the breadth of the court's order regarding other evidentiary issues that are going to come up prior to trial, I think, affects things substantially. And I respectfully disagree with the court that there won't be the need to try two cases. I think there will be.
Now 52 years old, Kowalski is already serving a 40-year prison sentence for the death of another woman in Montana. Hedlund also referred to the voluminous amount of evidence in the case, which he has not had time to completely review. Some of the evidence is still trickling in as part of the discovery process. Special Prosecutor James Fayette agreed to postponing the trial and said that a Perry relative would not have any objections.
His position is consistently, during my contact with him this year, been that he understands that there will be delays, and paraphrased in my pleading, his desire is the case be handled prudently and correctly, even if that implicates some delays, and he understands that.
Judge Menendez participated in Monday's hearing by teleconference.
But gentlemen, I'm planning to try this case on March 17th for 3 weeks. This case has been scheduled 6 times. This will be the 7th time it's been scheduled. I'm hearing from the parties you'll both be ready for trial on the 17th of March, correct?
Meaning that Judge Menendez expects this to be the last time that the trial is rescheduled. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
And that's all for Raven News this morning. You can take a look at any of the stories we aired this morning and more on our website, kcaw.org. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. Coming up is more National Public Radio. It's 49 degrees in downtown Sitka under overcast skies. Showers today with highs around 51 and southwest winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. You can expect showers tonight as well with lows around 43 and southwest winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. And tomorrow, showers as well with highs around 46 and southwest winds 10 miles per hour. Have a wonderful morning. Thank you for joining me.